Thank you for tuning in today. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the Word of God. Let's pray and get right into the teaching today. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, bless all that have tuned in today. Let your Spirit be abundantly upon them. Lord, open up our understanding, Lord, that we may receive what you have for us, and that might be a fourfold anointing. And God, just grant it, Lord, and we give you the praise for it, Lord, as you anoint your Word in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to minister on a subject today. What will the end be? And we find in Romans in the 6th chapter and in verse 21 through verse 23, we find these words. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and becoming servants to God, ye have your fruit into holiness, and the end is everlasting life. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How true it is, in him we have a promise of eternal life, but in the things of the world and without God, the end is death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, it is eternal life. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son has not life. Now we're going to look to Romans 13 in verse 11 through 14. And that knowing the time is now, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, nor in strife or envying. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We can plainly see here that God is saying it's time to serve him. The night is far spent. The time is at hand. Put on the armor of God and the armor of light. We'll walk honestly and walk soberly and righteously in this present world. Live a life that's becoming to wholeness. Live a life that's meet of repentance, showing that you have had a change. The old man is gone, the old nature's gone, and you're a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. And then we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God for his word. Now in 2 Corinthians, in the 11th chapter, in verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, a lot of people, they really want to debate you on that. They say, well, you're saved and it's by grace only. Your salvation initially is by grace only. By the grace of God, we are saved. By the grace of God, we continue to be saved. But only the merit of God's set aside in his word that if you sin, you have to remit it, you have to repent of it. And that's the reason he said, whose end shall be according to their works. If we go out and do ungodly things and refuse to repent, stiffen our hearts, harden our hearts and stiffen our neck against God, then we are going to be subject to the judgment of that works, which the Bible said their name was judged out of the book. So don't ever let anybody say you a rotten bill of goods. It says you're saved unconditionally. Sin all you want to. That don't belong in the pulpit. And any preacher that preaches you can sin all you want to don't belong in the pulpit. He ain't saved. He's not a preacher. And you don't need to listen to him. Get out of his church or run from him because he's no good. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together for me, or of me, and mark them which walk as so as ye have us for an example. Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. We stop right there and look at that. Those that are enemies of the cross, those that fail to recognize the cross and the preaching of the cross, those end, according to 19th verse, is destruction, whose God is their belly and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned likened unto the glorious body, according to the works whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto him. He made a change in us. When we accepted him and we become saved and born again, he made a change. The old nature's gone. And if we follow after that old nature, our end is going to be destruction. Now Hebrews 6 and 8 tells us, but that which by thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. I'm telling you something, my friend. Hell is a reality. We go there as an intruder. Hell was not prepared for us. It was the devil and the fallen angels. But we go there as an intruder if we choose the things of the world instead of the things of God and his righteousness. And then we find in Revelations 21, verse 8, but let's read verse 7 for a setting of this. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now that's to the righteous, and here's what he said to the wicked in verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That is serious. That's what's going to happen to those that reject God, those that are abominable, and he lists them all out, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, adulterers, and liars. They all going to have their part in that eternal lake of fire. You don't want to go there. You want to repent. You want to get right with God, and you want to let God rule supreme in your heart and your life so you can be accounted as what verse 7 said, an overcomer, and he'll be your God and you'll be his son. And if we study out in the Word of God what's promised to the sons of God, it's worth making the effort to go there. We accept Jesus, we walk with him, we talk with him, and we wind up with him for eternity. I think that's a good decision, and it sure is the right direction. Now, in 1 Peter, in the 4th chapter, verse 17 and verse 18, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And then here it says in verse 18, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? But notice back in verse 17, what shall the end be of those that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus? I'm telling you, you don't want to be on the wrong end at judgment. You want to make sure that your sins have been covered by the blood and that he has saved you and redeemed you by his blood, and you have all your sins covered by his marvelous blood. Can't go but no other way. He's the only door, the only way, and it's the way of the cross. It's the way of Calvary. It's by the blood and no other way. And it reads to this effect, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now that's what's going to happen to the wicked. You know, the psalmist talked a whole lot about the prosperity of the hypocrite and the wicked, and his blood had almost thy slip watching that. But then when he got the house of God and he realized that what their end would be, and he realized what the righteous had and how much that God was going to do for the righteous. We're going to cover that just in a few minutes and go a little further on that. But we're going to look to Psalms 37 and verse 38 and 39. Verse 38 reads, "But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is our strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him." Flipping back up to verse 37, here it tells us that, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." Notice the difference. The righteous have peace. The transgressor, they'll be destroyed, and the wicked shall be cut off. So this is pretty plain to see that you want to choose the way of righteousness, you want to choose the Lord's way, because that's the only true way. Now then, we want to look in Psalms in chapter 73. I mentioned this a minute ago, but now I want to read it to you in closing of this teaching today. Now then, in verse 2, it goes on to explain, and here's the psalmist, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well thy slipped." And according to the scripture, he had saw the prosperity there in that next verse. He saw the prosperity of the wicked. And, you know, he didn't really see nothing at that particular moment, but how that they seemed to be prospering, how they seem to be, the hypocrites seem to be faring good. And you look at the wicked, it will appear to you, man, everything's rosy. It'll look like they got the gang around them and everybody's party hoop-de-hoo. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not the end. That's what's happening now. There's pleasure in sin for a season, but that season is going to run out, and then reality. You can't get around these scriptures. Some 10 different places, 11 or so, that I've went to today in this teaching. And it absolutely proves beyond any shadow of doubt, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. Now in verse 15 of Psalm 73. "If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me." When he thought about this thing, it was just more than he could even comprehend, and it was too painful to think about. It hurts you with inside. But here is the answer to it in verse 17. "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou casteth them down into destruction." That is as plain as it can be said. The end of the wicked will be destruction. That's the only thing I can say to you today. It will be destruction. Their end will be in hell. They will be eternally lost, and that without God. And their hope, there's no hope for the wicked. There's no promise of anything other than hell and in torment. So if you are making a decision today, make your decision for the Lord, because that's the only way, and that's the only thing that's going to work. It's the only thing that's going to stand. So make it for the Lord and choose his way. May we pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time we've had to spend with your people. As we speak the word of God, as we pray a prayer and ask this word to touch hearts, convict, let the Holy Ghost do the work it does the best. Draw men unto you, Lord. Reclaim the backslider, save the sinner, heal the sick. That's our prayer. Now, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for it. Grant it and lift up those who are down in spirit and heart and give them a touch from on high. We give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, till we come to you in our next teaching, may God richly bless you.